Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for such a possibility to be able to live that kind of life, Father. Have that kind of song in our hearts. And Father, just be found serving you. We thank you for those that were studying, who spent their time serving you. We're looking at Jeremiah today. And we pray, Lord, that this book, difficult book, would be a blessing some way to all of us, Father. At least be a warning to us. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would have his way. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What's 66 minus 43? 23. We have 23 books left in our series of going through the Bible. So I'm trying to finish it out. Nothing to lament about. Well, this is quite a book because the name of the book is Lamentations. Now, that's a book that'll sell. Lamentations. Lamenting. I'm sure out there people are lamenting because we had a snowstorm. People are lamenting because the winter's so long. People are lamenting because it's cold. People are lamenting because Biden's president. People are lamenting because, well, you name it. So much to lament about. Lamentations. Does it bother you when people lament and lament and lament? The thing is, we all lament. And you know, when you look at Lamentations, that man had a lot to lament about. It was overwhelming. He's called the weeping prophet because he saw the destruction of Jerusalem. I saw a picture of a police officer standing in front of a motor vehicle, and he's apparently trying to stop traffic by raising his hand. The average weight of a vehicle is 4,156 pounds, while a police officer may weigh in at 200 pounds. Could he stop that car? If the driver of that vehicle didn't want to obey the directive of the police officer, the officer wouldn't stand a chance. The car could easily knock him down and run him over. Why should that car stop? That car should stop because that police officer has a badge, and that badge represents the law. And it's the law that stops the car. You understand what I'm saying? So if that person coming could care less for the law, he could go over that police officer. Now, he might be in some trouble later on. Maybe some consequence to that. But it's the badge. You see, all Jeremiah had was the Word of God. That's all he had. And he was giving out the Word of God, but they didn't believe the Word of God. And they just trampled over Jeremiah. They just trashed him. But you know what? The Word of God was the Word of God. And Jerusalem was destroyed. Because the Word of God said Jerusalem would be destroyed. Because they wouldn't repent, turn back to God. You know Osteen and Jakes and Joyce Myers? I don't know if you watch them or not. You shouldn't, but anyway, if you do, that's okay. I think if they had a church in Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah wouldn't go there. Because he didn't have that kind of message. He didn't have a message to build you up and make you feel good. He had a message of impending judgment. Destruction.
He had a message about the sins of the day, which were displayed in their idolatry and their attraction towards the lifestyle of other nations.
They were godless. So Jeremiah wouldn't fit with that crowd. Somebody said, I don't want to be you, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, nobody in our generation likes you. Do you understand that, Jeremiah? We don't like you. And we don't like your book. You're not going to be nominated Man of the Year. You're not going to be most likely to succeed. You're a loser, Jeremiah. So he's the weeping prophet. Can you understand that? And he writes a book, and the name of the book is Lamentations. Five chapters of lamenting. Today it's make me happy. I'd like to have a message. You come out here this morning. I mean, you're here in spite of the snow and all that, and I have a book that makes you happy, and you leave here feeling happy. That'd be great. But the book I have to deal with today is Lamentations. How can I bring out of Lamentations something to make you happy? Because on this planet, we seem to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. We just seem to fall into the same rut. Israel did that over and over again. The church does that over and over again. We do that over and over again. Lamentations. Are you feeling good so far? Give me some hope. Give me some hope for the church. Give me some hope for our country. from the book. What if it's not there? What if there's no hope? Jeremiah standing there looking at all that destruction. Jerusalem totally destroyed. Temple destroyed. Probably the bodies are still out there rotting in the streets. Not a nice picture. Didn't have to be that way, but people didn't want to listen. They say it's a funeral message. Funeral message. It follows naturally the prophecies of Jeremiah. You look at his life. He's gone through five different kings. And only one of them, Josiah, he's the one to whom Hilkiah, the high priest, turned over the book of the law, which was found in the house of the Lord. And Josiah looked at the book, and it was the Word of God. We found the Word of God. Where? The temple. Can you imagine? Opens it up and says, you know what? We're not following the book. We're so far removed from the book. We've got to clean this up. We've got to take down the idols. We got to start the feast days and the holy days and worshiping God the way God was meant to be worshiped. That lasted for a little while, and then that kind of fell away. And the other four wouldn't listen to what God had to say. Somebody said Lamentations moves us into the very heart of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah had a message that broke his heart. God gave Jeremiah a message that broke Jeremiah's heart, that broke Jeremiah. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan tells a story about Dr. Dale Birmingham. He says he used to say that Dwight L. Moody was the only man who seemed to him to have the right to preach about hell. When somebody asked him, Dr. Dale, why did you say that? He said, because he always preaches it with tears in his voice. That's the type of man God wants today. He goes on to say, we have too many people who are not moved by the message that they give. Life's not easy. Life's hard. Not that many are cooperating with God. That's a message. That's a reality. Jeremiah wept over Jerusalem. Jeremiah was looking back at that destruction. Down the road, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years down the road, there'll be another one weeping over Jerusalem. But that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. But he wasn't looking back, he was looking ahead, because he knew what was coming for Jerusalem. He was broken. They still wouldn't listen. Face your own sin. It's hard to face our own sin. We see it so much in others, but we have a hard time to see it in ourselves. Israel had a real struggle with that. They thought because they were prospering, they were right with God. They thought the prosperity meant right. Prosperity could mean right, but it doesn't always mean right. They weren't prospering spiritually. They were prospering financially. Crying out from a wrecked mind because of what he experienced here, there in the book of Lamentations, if you found it.
Probably pretty clean section of your Bible,
because your fingers don't go there very often. Chapter 1 and verse 1 puts it like this. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she, who was great among the nations, the princes among the provinces, has become a slave. Loneliness. You feel loneliness? Loneliness is when something that was almost there is gone and it's not going to come back. And you so desire it to come back, but it's not going to come back. Lonely. Jeremiah was lonely as he looked on that scene of destruction. Twice there in that verse it says, that was, past tense. That was great, has been, like a widow, lost, alone. How do you go on now that your mate is gone? Your source of livelihood is gone. You're left so alone. How do you do that? Has become a slave. Interesting word. It means forced labor. Forced labor. It's labor that you don't want. It's forced upon you, and you have to do it. You have to go through this. And it's so hard. That's the message that's coming through the book of Lamentations for us as Christians. It's going to end well here. Really? Church is going to end well. Really? How do you know that? You have a crystal ball. It didn't end well for Israel. It was disastrous. New Testament didn't end well for a lot of the churches. It was disastrous. This is a reality that we have to face as Christians. This is a reality we have to face as a church. when we know what's right to do, do what's right. Verse 2. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks, talking about the nation. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. She has none to comfort her. Comfort's a great thing. Comfort's a great, great thing. I was 17 years old. I'm on a gurney in the hospital. And old Dr. Johnson, he's pulling out teeth and sewing up my face. I don't even think he used an anesthetic. One thing I remember was so good, that whole process, was my brother was holding my hand and he'd squeeze my hand. That was 54 years ago. You know he's still doing that today. That feels good. I like that. She has none to comfort her. Nobody. We read this four times. Lovers, friends have become her enemies. That refers to the nations that she fellowshiped with. They were her lovers, but they didn't love her. Facebook provided some great opportunities for lovers. You're 50-some years old and you've been married for a long time and kids are grown. You're having your marital struggles. You can't go back. You know what I mean? But Facebook, old girlfriend from the past, long, long time ago, sends you a little, would you be my friend? Well, you wouldn't want your wife to know that. But you send back, yes, we'll be friends. So you're on Facebook together. And I guess on Facebook you can have quiet chats where not everybody sees what you're doing. You feel good. Things aren't that good at home, and it's nice to have a little something going on here with people that seem to like you, and words are exchanged. Remember back in 68? Yeah, I remember that was a good night, wasn't it? Yeah, we had a good time there, didn't we? Yeah, it was good. So 2 or 3 weeks go by. Too bad we couldn't go back to that time. Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. How's it going with you? Well, you know, life. Kids are grown, and some of them are in trouble, and blah, blah, blah. More time goes by. Hey, it's too bad we couldn't connect sometime. Nothing, just to connect. I haven't seen you for a long time, and I remember how attractive you were and how easy it was to talk to you. Yeah, that'd be good. I'd like that. Why don't we do that? Well, let's set up a time. Meet somewhere. Yeah, that'd be good. He's excited. She's excited. They feel like they're teenagers again. So they set up an appointment. They meet. They have a little thing. Meet again. Hey, let's just leave here. Let's just run off. You and I, you know, we love each other. Just get away from all this. Put it all behind us. So they run away from their mates. The wife of their youth, the husband of their youth. And they're gone 3 or 4 days. Then they think this wasn't so good. Boy, I made a big mistake. How can I fix this? How can I go back and put this back together again? How can I make this right? I want to be with my children. I want to be with my wife. Or I want to be with my husband. I did the wrong thing. Can't fix it. You can go back. Might work, might not, but never be the same. It'll always be like Jeremiah looking at the destruction. Why am I saying that? Because it talks about lovers and all that. That's the only way I can express it, to bring it down here where we live. And we see that happening often. Church is bringing in stuff that doesn't belong in the church. It belongs in the world. They bring it into the church and the church becomes more like the world. Then the funny thing is, people want the world to become more like the church. That's not going to happen. But we shouldn't become more like the world. That's a struggle. Love turns to hate. Two old lovers connected. So Israel connected with Moab and Israel connected with Egypt. And what'd that do? Verse 3. Judah has gone into captivity under affliction and hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All her persecutors overtake her in dire straits. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. Like the illustration I just gave, it doesn't stop.
Can you imagine it? I can't imagine it, but I've seen it and I've heard it. I read about it. It'll never stop. The pain will be there day after day after day. You'll be reminded in so many ways, from so many different sources, of the pain that you caused. And you can't make it up. You don't have enough time left to make it up. It's impossible to make it up. You can't fix it. You can't put it back together again. That was the nation of Israel. That happened to Israel. That happens to churches. That happens to Christians. It doesn't have to happen to you. It doesn't have to happen to me. It doesn't have to happen to Mount View Bible Church. It doesn't have to, but it can. Because of the law of God, that's all we have. All we have is what God says. So we need to stop when we come to the law. We need to obey the law. We need to allow the law to be a lamp unto our way, a light unto our path, the law of God. So we're going through the Bible. We are getting an overview of every book. We're going through in Sunday school, the whole scriptures, 39 months. We need to know what God has to say. And we need to obey what God has to say. Verse 3. Judah has gone to captivity. Under affliction, hard servitude. Listen, it identifies it as a snare. What happened to the nation of Israel, to Judah, is that they were caught in a snare. Now, I never get into that stuff. Jeremiah get into that. He knows about snares. And he can snare stuff. But you don't go out there and put a sign, snare. You don't go put your scent out there. You don't go put your cologne on the snare. You hide it. And dummy comes along. Not expecting anything to happen. And suddenly, caught. The hunters by buck lore. Is that really true or is that a fable? Anyway, I'll make it up if it's not. So this buck lore, because you don't want the buck to know that you're wearing deodorant. You want the buck to think you're a doe. So you get the buck lore you sent in. UPS dropped it off. You got it off Amazon. You got a quart. It says use 4 tablespoons, but you thought, well, 4 tablespoons are good. You just put it down. Sure, you're out there. You have your rifle. You got your buckler on. He's not going to know. So here he comes. And man, he's like sniffing the air. Woo, he's got big rack of horns. Oh, this is good. So you got your rifle and you got it over there and you got him raped on the crosshairs and you pull the trigger and the gun jams. And you're fooling with the gun and the buck's coming. Because the buck thinks, well, we won't go into that. You're in trouble. Because you were trying to lure that buck in. Listen, they loved their fellowship with Egypt. They loved their fellowship with Moab. They loved their fellowship with these nations. And they thought these nations loved them, but these nations didn't love them. These nations hated them. So they were in a trap. Psalm 38, verse 12 says, those who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all day long. That's exactly what those nations were doing. Psalm 141, verse 9, keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. We're just dumb rabbits trying to get through this life, but be careful of snares. They can take away what God has planted in our lives. Ecclesiastes 7:26, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Two different types of individuals. One falls right in the trap, but the other one goes away from the trap. Two different spiritual temperatures. Verse 4. The roads to Zion mourn, because no one comes to the set feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted. And she is in bitterness. Used to be a time when people would come in those pathways, and they would come to the Passover, and they'd celebrate the Passover. They celebrate the other holy days that were given to the nation
of Israel. They meant something to them. And there was a vibrant spirit there once, but then it all went away.
It had become just empty tradition, empty religion.
Now, Jeremiah's standing there and he's looking at that. It's gone. It's gone. It's not coming back. I wonder if, theoretically speaking, if Christians in North Korea could attend church. Christians in North Korea could meet together and sing hymns. Christians in North Korea could meet together and fellowship around the Word of God. They can't. But I wonder if they could. I wonder how many there'd be. Christians in America can. But how interested are Christians in America in the Word of God? By the looks of it, they're interested in wild, crazy music. They're interested in prosperity preachers. But there's just very little interest in the Word of God. That's what happened to the nation of Israel. You look at verse 4, no entrance, no religious services. And then this, the virgins are afflicted and she's in bitterness. What about those young people? Guess you could just leave them to woke, maybe. And she is in bitterness. She's in bitterness. I'm going to tell you something about bitterness. I know that from personal experience. You can't hide it. You don't have to tell somebody, I'm bitter.
Because he or she knows.
You can't hide bitterness. Hebrews tells us to be careful of bitterness. Hebrews tells us that bitterness is an enemy. Why are they bitter? I mean, they were told this was going to happen. They weren't just told once it was going to happen. They were told over and over and over and over again this is going to happen. And it happened. Why are they bitter? So Jeremiah cries. I understand why Jeremiah cries. Don't you understand why Jeremiah cries? Didn't have to be that way. Verse 5. Her adversaries have become the master. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. Why are they winning? Why are they winning? Sometimes I like to catch the sport news on some of the schools and stuff. I remember from years ago, and some schools doing a lot better than they did days gone by, and some are doing a lot worse than days gone by. But sometimes it's like so-and-so played so-and-so, and the score was 24-78. When the score is 24-78, chances are, if that team that had the 78, if they had a good coach, they'd probably have their third string out there. But it's still, it's 24-78. That's losing. You come out of something like that and you don't feel good. You don't feel good at all. You feel bad because you've lost to such a degree. You didn't just lose. You were just totally annihilated. You were embarrassed. That's what the verse is all about right there. The adversaries are the masters. The enemies prosper. How come they're godless? They have no place for God in their lives. They don't have a history of the truth threaded through their nation like we do as a nation of Israel. How come we're suffering like this and they're prospering like that? That's what he's saying. Now do you know why he's called the weeping prophet? For the Lord has afflicted her.
Those were the Babylonians.
No, it says the Lord has afflicted her. Were the Babylonians involved? Absolutely. The game's rigged. God decides who wins and who loses. Israel lost because they wouldn't listen to God. That's where affliction comes from. And then it says the children. What about the children? What about the children? I'm old, and I can say this. The responsibility to spiritually train up children does not belong to the church. The church was never given the responsibility to train up children. The church would do a lousy job training up children. The responsibility to train up children spiritually is given to the parents. And I'll tell you something, children, their little antennas are always there, and they're always picking up what their parents think of the Word of God, of Christianity. They're picking that up all the time. What's important? Kids pick that up. We can't replace that as a church.
For the most part, children will grow up with an interest in spiritual things because their parents instilled that in them. Oh, they have a free will, like we all do, But it's hard to resist a home that honors God. There are exceptions, but parents who love their children will be invested in securing an understanding of what has eternal value. Jeremiah probably saw dead children.
Went all over the place there in Jerusalem, killed by the Babylonians. Didn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. Depressing. Verse 7, in the days of her affliction and roamings, Jerusalem remembers all her pleasant things. As far as I know, they have not come out with a pill yet that you can take that will dissolve memories. Wouldn't that be nice?
If we could write down all the memories we'd want to have dissolved.
Then we give that to the doctor and he gives us a pill and we take the pill and all those memories are gone. But it's not the case. Haunting memories.
Memories that haunt you
because you can't go back and fix it.
Those are her memories.
That she had in days of old. Pleasant things. She had it all. She had food. She had a nice environment to live in. She worshiped the one true God. What more do you want? Why did she have to go out there looking at other gods from the other nations? Why did she have to suppress the truth? Why did she do that? What's best? The best.
Memories.
Make good country and western songs. I'd sing a few for you, but I don't have time. Verse 8, Jerusalem has sinned gravely. Therefore she has become vile. All who honored her despise her because they have seen her nakedness. Yes, she sighs and turns away. You ever dream you were somewhere and you had no clothes on? And your clothes were somewhere else? I'm just asking you, maybe you've never dreamt that before. And you're trying to figure out how you can get from where you are with no clothes on to where your clothes are and get dressed before somebody sees you. See that verse? That's what it's saying. Now they see her. Covering's gone. Everything's exposed. Somebody was telling me the other day that within years, they're going to have such instrumentation, so advanced, it can read your thoughts and your mind. And when somebody tells you that, you go, oh, I know, we all feel the same way. We do not want people to read our thoughts and our minds. It's bad enough what they hear coming out of our mouth without reading the rest of it. But she's exposed. God's telling the world, I created them. I made them a nation. I gave them my word. They wouldn't listen to what I had to say. I destroyed them. So Egypt and Moab and the rest of these nations are going, wow. See, she was supposed to be a testimony to them. She was supposed to win them. She was supposed to be over them. But now all this vile stuff has been exposed for everybody to see. Verse 9, her uncleanness is in her skirts. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. Just three little words I highlighted here. Did not consider. Did not consider. You ever had something happen? You ever been in an accident? You ever had some type of injury? Because there's a piece of information that you did not consider. Had you considered that, that would not have happened. She did not consider. What did she not consider? She did not consider that you could not break the law of God and get away with it. She didn't consider that. She didn't consider that God judges his own. She didn't consider that. But she thought she could get away with it because she was Israel. She sang all the songs, you know, marching to Zion, all that. Verse 10, the adversary has spread his hand over all her pleasant things. Things that she once had, they were pleasant things. Besides the material things, like if you have access to God through prayer, that's quite a thing to have. And if you lose that, well, you have the Word of God. That's a pleasant thing. That can keep you out of a lot of trouble. That can direct your path through this life. Can give you hope. Can give you assurance that you know you're a child of God. But if you lose that, what now? Pleasant things. Verse 11. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their valuables for food to restore life. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am scorned. Given their valuable things for food. Huh. You don't think much about that, food. And even though the prices are going up and all that, we still go buy food. We still can do that. But what if you couldn't afford food anymore? And what if you had to start selling things? Maybe you'd sell the spare tire off your car and then Maybe you'd have to sell the car, and then you'd maybe have to sell your bike, and then maybe you'd have to sell one of the kids. I don't know where it all stopped. Israel did that. Not with the cars and the bikes. They did that with the kids. They sold their kids into slavery. The valuables, their valuables, that which they had, picked up, attained, worked for, it's gone. It's all gone. Verse 12, it is nothing to you, all you who pass by. Behold and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought to me,
which the Lord has inflicted in the day of his fierce anger. You've never seen anything like this.
We were never there. We're just reading about that. Maybe some of you experienced that kind of thing. But tremendous loss. So sad. People are passing by and they're looking at that. Just looking at that.
Like the obituaries.
I look at the obituaries.
Sometimes I go back 3 or 4 pages in the funeral home listings, and I know a number of people.
That life is gone. Used to do this, do that. It's gone. I'm looking on. Just looking on. Someday somebody else will be looking on me. But I'm just looking on. I read about things, disasters and tragedies and things uncovered and all this kind of stuff. The battle between the political parties and all the dirt they throw at each other and dig up on each other. And I read some of that, but I'm just looking at it. You know what I mean? I'm not in it. But I'm looking at it because I'm a passerby. We examine things. We look at things. We make judgments about things. We should. Well, here's the big thing. Israel, Judah, temple, the brutality of the Babylonians toward the Hebrews. We're looking at that. Okay, now what are we going to do about that? Turn away. I don't want to enter into that. I don't want to feel your pain. I want to get away from that. That bridge collapsed in Pennsylvania. People down there and EMS coming in and paramedic came there and they couldn't get down in there. But he had a 4-wheel drive pickup. And he used his 4-wheel drive pickup to get down there to bring the people up out of there because they were suffering. He just did what he had to do to get by for the time that tragedy took place. He didn't just pass by. He didn't try to put a distance between him and the pain. See, Jeremiah couldn't just pass by. God wanted him to hurt. God wanted him to cry. Because this is a reality. And we don't want to face reality. We want a pill for that. Sometimes when I'm going down the hall in the nursing home, the med tech will be there. Aunt Deb, you know, the med tech goes around with that, all the pills. And I'll be going down the hall and I'll say, you got something for me? I just like to have a little something to take the edge off or something to make me happy. Will you have that? Of course they do, but they wouldn't give it to me. I got to be a resident before I can get that. Yeah. All through this, verse 14, the yoke of my transgressions was bound. They were woven together by his hands and thrust upon my neck. And he made my strength fail. The Lord deliver me into the hands of those who I am not able to withstand. Say, I can get away with this. I'm strong. I've got all the resources. But you're taking on God. That verse is saying, I'm going to put a yoke on you. How'd you like to have a yoke on you?
A yoke is a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals and attached to the plow or cart that they are to pull.
And that's a yoke, and you're there.
It's a burden you have to carry.
That's Israel. Can't get away from this. Can't run away from this. Can't move to a different state. That's Jeremiah. That's what he's looking at. That's how he describes it. There's no way I can move under this pressure. And then he said,
God has brought this about because we didn't recognize that not only were we conceived by the hand of God, but we live by the hand of God, and we can be punished by the hand of God. Christians, this is also true for us. We can be punished.
We don't want to forget that. You don't hear that very often. It's not discussed because we want to breeze through. Jeremiah couldn't do that. And you know, folks, we can't do that. We live in crazy. You don't have to watch CNN or Fox. I'm telling you, we live in crazy. But we shouldn't be crazy. We shouldn't fall into those old traps. God has given us tremendous opportunities. Tremendous opportunities. And we should take advantage of those opportunities. Because if we don't take advantage of the opportunities that God has given to us, we'll lose it all. We'll lose our salvation? No, we're not going to lose our salvation. Israel's not gone. Israel's going to come back. All the promises of Israel are going to be fulfilled. But we're going to lose that relationship we have with God.
We don't want that.
We can lose all the other relationships.
We don't want to lose our relationship with God. Jeremiah had that relationship with God, and he wanted his people to have it as well.
So it goes through five chapters. Do you have time to go through the other four with me? Probably not. We should go home. Chapter 5, verse 19. Chapter 5, verse 19. But the Lord, you remain the same forever. Your throne continues from generation to generation. You never change. Why do you continue to forget us? Why have you abandoned us for so long? Restore us, O Lord. Bring us back to you again. Give us back the joys we once had. Or have you utterly rejected us? Are you angry with us still? Lord, I want that back. I want to be feeling that I'm in your service and I'm in your will and we're moving forward together. That's what I want. But Lord, it would be have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. Open up. That's what he's saying. Your throne, Lord. You're in charge. I'm not in charge. One of the first fundamental lessons that we have to learn as Christians, we are not in charge. Like to be in charge. We're not. We can fix everything. Can't fix everything. There are long periods of time we can't fix anything. Abandoned, but restore us. Give it back to us. That's Lamentations. I did my best. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the lessons. This is a hard one. But Father, we know you have a purpose. We know you speak to your people. And I pray, Lord, for your people. I pray for the believers that are gathered here. The responsibility that we have has been given to us divinely. We didn't work for it, but we need to work it out. Father, help us be. Even if we had to be Jeremiah, that we be your servant in spite of what's around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.